We have a couple more weeks of the book of Romans. I was telling my wife yesterday, and just I said, you know, when you get a chance to study a book, man, it just so, you know, for the last, I know we're on our, I think this is our seventh week of teaching, but probably my, I don't know, maybe 13th or 14th week of study. And it's tough for it to not become your favorite book. I told her, I'm like, you know, whenever I do studies like this and do things like this, it just becomes my favorite. So there's so much in the book of Romans. Have greatly enjoyed it. Today we're going to kind of wander into some sensitive material and that generates strong opinions. So as we continue our overview of the book of Romans, turn with me to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. We have followed our progression of the book of Romans. We started guilty. We saw the free gift of salvation to which has justified us. That is pardon, a full pardon. God works on the inside of sanctifying us, setting us apart for a special use. We see a focus in on Israel, and then we see the purpose of that focus in on how wonderful and the blessings and the promises that Israel has, and we get grafted in on some of that. And because of all that, now we can, as we're in final days here, we are talking about service. Today, we're going to be talking about the government a little bit. We're going to be talking about our neighbors and all that entails. So let's pray for some wisdom as we go through the book of Romans. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And God, as we can pray, Lord, I pray that we would come to you again as Lord, we are just needy. Thank you for the opportunity of prayer. Thank you for the ability to bring our requests directly to you. But God, we need you here today. We need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. Lord, I pray that you would bless bless all that is said and done for your honor and for your glory. As we go through these verses, Lord, help us to have the right heart, the right spirit, the right attitude towards it. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we talk of government, you bring up politics, and you are talking about a very polarizing topic. My grandfather, that would be my mom's dad, would say two things he does not want to talk about are politics and religion. And why is that? Well, it's because everyone's got a very strong opinion of how it should go or how it isn't going. I had someone call me this week that was supposedly doing an independent survey of some political questions. Mr. Russo, can I ask you about, it's about 5 minutes worth. Halfway through, I said, just stop what you're saying. I said, hold on a second. There's no way you are independent. You are way too slanted in your questions. I said, I can't even answer your questions. What other question or what other answer could I give to what you're asking me? You're fishing for certain ways. And no, Mr. Russo, we are not affiliated with, stop it. Just stop it. And so again, government is very polarizing. And we are citizens of not only a heavenly country, but also a physical one. So as we look at Romans chapter number 13, we'll read through verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Let us remember that. God is very much aware of what's going on, and he does allow the things that happen for a purpose. Now, again, I don't always understand those purposes, but nor do I need to. I do need to understand and trust the Lord, though, in verse 1. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Again, remember, he's writing to Christians in Rome. Roman Empire. You want to talk about say, well, they just don't understand. What we're going through today is unlike, it's very similar. Very similar. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's speaking of the powers that are over us. Wherefore, he must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And we'll discuss that in a little bit. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So we have some information here about how, as we serve, how we're part of something. The book of Romans is not some hypothetical book. It was written to real people with real problems. Go with me to Luke, hold your hand in Romans chapter 13. Go with me to Luke chapter number 20. Looking at verse 21, it says, "And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest thou the way of God truly? Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no?" What a great question, right? Do we give tribute? Say, what is tribute? Do we pay money, taxes? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? He said, "Show me a penny, whose image and superscription hath it?" And they answered and said, "Caesar's." And he said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." Hey, let us remember that. There are some things that are, I wonder if we are more faithful in rendering to that which is Caesar's than we are to rendering that which is God's. Are we, it gets drafted right out of my account. You can choose not to pay any taxes and then at the end of the year. But are we as faithful about giving our tithes and offerings or giving ourselves to the Lord or giving our time to God as we look at those same types of principles here? He reminds us of that. But there is something that should be paid towards that. If the government establishes taxes, well, you got to pay them. That's how that goes. As we go back to Romans chapter 13, is there an exception? Yeah, when one of those civil laws goes against what God says. Remember, the Egyptian says, "Okay, here's what we need you to do. We need you to kill all the..." And they're like, "We're not doing that." Why? Because that went against what God said. Acts chapter 5, verse 21, or 29, right? We ought to serve God rather than men, right? We know that. Now, again, let us be reminded that this wasn't written at a time of perfect government. Our citizenship is in heaven, but for now we are also citizens of the earth. And we know that power comes from the Lord. We saw that in verse 1 and 2. God does instruct us to obey the laws of the country. The purpose, and this is important, the purpose of government is to create and enforce laws that restrain evil and promote individual freedom. Say, what happens if it infringes upon... Remember when Israel says, "Hey, we want a king." And he says, "Well, here's what a king's going to do. He's going to take your men, he's going to take your land, he's going to take some of your possessions." They're like, yeah, that's what we want. Makes no sense, right? But that's what you get with government. And so on and so forth, that's what we get. When we choose to not live in a theocracy, meaning God rules, we're subject to these things. Now understand that we put men in charge of this, sinful men, that at this time, the pendulum is swung way hard to one side and they care nothing of the things of God. Say, is it going to get better? Probably not. The way things go is things get worse over time, not better. So how do you know that? Leave a piece of meat out sitting out on the counter. Is it going to get better? No, it's going to get worse. It decays, right? Things get worse. Although maybe we're smarter, we're moving further and further away from the Lord. And as we do that, there's negative side effects to that. There's consequences to that. You teach people for years and years, generations, that they're nothing more than a glorified animal. Well, what do you expect? Thankful for a Christian school where we can teach each young person that they're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and to treat one another with kindness and love. Say, does that happen? Hey, they're still little people. I mean, we're still dealing with people. Thankful for an opportunity, though. Chance to push against it a little bit. We would probably all agree that some laws are bad, right? That's not a good law. Then this is when it becomes difficult to respect authority. But the Lord commands that we obey government, Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. It says, render therefore to all due, all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Christians should be the best citizens. We should be. Why? Because we have a moral compass. Something by which to guide our thoughts and ways, and that's God's ways. And God's ways are always better than the world's ways. So you take that and you combine those two things, and that is a blessing, that is help. We are to respect those that are in authority over us. Hey, if you're teaching young people that or children that the problem is that the police or the authority, you're gonna have some trouble down the way. I like that song. Okay, I'm sorry. Slightly distracted. We are to respect those that who have authority over us. Our objective should be order, not disorder. Right? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, for God is not the author of what? Confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33, look at verse 40. Let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Our desire ought to be order, not disorder. Say, no, what I'm going to do? I'm going to create anarchy. That's not the answer. A lack of government is not the answer. Pray for, I don't know how you pray for local officials. We were praying this morning I think it was Joe that was praying for, Joe that was praying for our officials that they would make right decisions. Man, that's what we need. All right. The clock is our enemy this morning. All right. Next. Romans chapter 13. You're going to like this next slide. I hope so. Maybe not. It should invoke smiles. There you are. That's a little blurry, but... that is Fred Rogers, and we are all familiar with the song of Mr. Rogers. I think that's about as best I can get it. Won't you be my neighbor? So Paul's going to transition, and he's going to start talking about neighborly. What does it mean to be neighborly? Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, it says, owe no man anything. Neighbors. He's going to help us with this. He's going to not to owe neighbors anything, but one thing. We are to be indebted to people for one thing, it says here, right? Owe no man anything but to love one another. If there's anything I owe you, it's love. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. We do have an indebtedness to others to express our love to others. When we have love in our heart for one another, we have love in action toward one another. I love Sarah. We're coming up on 20 years of marriage. And that's great. We're so excited. What are we going to do? I don't know. It's right in the middle of VBS week, and then we go to Jersey, and then, you know, and then I'm going to Africa. So somewhere in there, we're going to try and do something. And she thinks... anything short of Europe is down. Anyways, but so we'll see what we can do. I hear Batavia is beautiful this time of year. Beautiful. And so, anyways, I don't think that's going to go well. But we do have an indebtedness. But let us be careful. Let us be careful that we not demand of others to take care of our slack due to not just due to a laziness, right? We want to be careful that. We want to be careful that in demanding of maybe some help, we also have time to help others. This isn't instituted to promote guilt, like, oh, I help you, now you have to help me. That, remember, there's love. But we should have the heart of giving and indebtedness to one another. We're to love our neighbor. This passage talks greatly about love. He goes through the commandments here. He says in verse 9, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, kill, steal, bear false witness. Hey, if I loved you, those things wouldn't show up, right? It's pretty much, if I just tell you to love your neighbor, these things shouldn't even be an issue, right? Adultery, murder, stealing, bearing false witness. When we keep the Ten Commandments, it's a way of showing love for one another. So in verse 11, a strong, and that, knowing the time, it is time to wake up. Isn't that what it says? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. If that was true for the Romans, how much more true is it for us today? How vital is it for us today to serve the Lord? We do not know when the Lord will call us home, but we are to walk honestly. Isn't that, that's what it says, verse 13. Walk, let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Man, if that thought just got into some, I'm not just talking about the lost. Christianity today, there is a swing towards alcohol. Unbelievable. Stay away from that. Hey, in the last day, let's walk honestly. I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago, and man, he struggled his whole life with alcohol. Started drinking. He was a drunk by the time he was 13. I said, if you could talk to young people and tell them something, what would you say about alcohol? He says, it will destroy everything. That's his words. His testimony. So then we come to verse 14. Put ye on the, what does it say? Right there, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Therefore, that's how we should act. What say, I struggle with the government. I struggle with my neighbor. All right, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk honestly. See, why do I struggle with that? There's a key word in verse 14. The flesh. That's why. Any struggles that we have, it's the flesh. It's problematic to us. Balance. Balance is... chapter 14, we're going to talk about balance. And there's two schools of thought. How do you like my clip art this week? Good? Much better. Getting a handle on this. But you take little pictures and you make them big and they get a little blurry. But you can still see. Brother Bear, can you see that? Okay, great. Balance. Balance is important. I forget where I go. Okay, yeah, balance. There's two extremes in daily living. Number one, there's no difference between the world and Christian living. That's a philosophy. That's an extreme. That's an extreme on one side. Go with me to Philippians chapter number 3. Because what we're about to deal with is some, what I consider, I don't want to say gray area, but slightly gray. All right? So we have the black and white issues of the scriptures. Thou shalt not, right? I don't know, is it a good idea to kill my neighbor or not? Pretty clear. Bible says, thou shalt not. Yeah, but what about this? And then we start getting into some preferences. And Romans chapter 14 is going to help us with how to deal with, navigate some of those things. And I think really the key to it all is our heart in it. It's really important. Philippians chapter number 3. So we're going to talk about, again, a little bit of preferences and not being an offense. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. So it doesn't matter if I live like the world or not. There's no problem. As a Christian, I can do everything the world offers. Well, the Bible says, brethren, in verse 17 of chapter 3 in Philippians, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. I read that and I think, and know what it sounds like to me, there is a big difference, and Paul was heartbroken over some Christians that were living like the world. So that philosophy or that idea that, hey, it doesn't matter if I just live like the world, just come as you are and leave as you are, it doesn't matter. Well, the other extreme is everything is wrong. Well, that's tough too. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 2. That's difficult too, so that's why we need balance. You can't just withdraw from everything. What that creates is everything in this world is wrong. And I get that, I understand that, but what we become is very critical. Colossians chapter number 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 2 and verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the, now that's the important part, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Hey, let's be careful that we not cut everything out. What it creates is a superiority over others. So how do we know what's right and wrong? Well, the next slide, as I previewed by accidentally, what does the Bible say? So when we look through the book of Romans, it really helps us with dealing with some of those gray areas. Look at verse 12. First and foremost, we have to answer to God, Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Remember, God knows our heart, God knows our actions, he knows everything of our intentions, and we're going to have to stand before the Lord. We're going to have to answer for the decisions that we made. Each of us, the more we read, the more we study the Word, the better prepared we will be to be able to discern right and wrong. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. God does give us some clear information about things. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, this seems very clear. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Strong words. Now, the not inherit the kingdom of God, I can explain that, but that's just a different lesson. We covered that in the book of Galatians. But look at this. Look at what the works of the flesh is. Hey, as a Christian, there ought to be some separation from these things. Go with me to Colossians chapter number 3. In verse 5, Colossians 3, 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There is some very clear direction. But what happens when we go back to Romans chapter 14 and there's some different opinions about certain days, high and holy days? There's certain foods. Well, go back to Romans chapter 14. Let's look at verse 2. If we look at these things, then we look at the list there. These don't actually fit in so well. So how do we handle that? Romans chapter 14, verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Hey, there's certain foods. Look at verse chapter 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Some people make a big deal about their birthday. You say, oh, that's vain, that's proud, that's you're just gloating yourself. You had nothing to do with your birthday. And you say that's foolishness. That's real. People fight about that stuff. What's most important? What's most important is our attitude. Attitude is really important in this. Understanding these two things. There's a group that's weak and there's a group that's strong. And someone that's weak in their faith, what does that mean? That means that they're going to maybe be a little more susceptible to yielding to temptation, that they might easily fall back in sin, and they need to stay away from tempting situations. Now, there's another side of that. There's someone that's strong, someone that walks with the Lord, one who is mature in his or her own faith, stands firm against temptation. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let us remember that there is a sin which does so easily beset us. Each of us, right? Therefore, the strong is to encourage the weak. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. So, I have my buddy Roger here. And Roger, I'm just making this up. Here, we'll do this. You'll be my buddy. And I'm the weaker Christian because I don't want to, I'm not. So, here I am. I got saved later in life. I got saved at 28, we'll say, or 30. And before that, I struggled really bad with pornography. I would go, I had a big magazine collection, if you understand what I'm talking about. I would go to the mall, buy magazines and all of that. Well, Roger didn't have that problem. He got saved when he was 5 or 6. Lord sheltered him from that, praise the Lord, right? And didn't have to struggle with that. Well, he calls me up and says, hey, Nick, how about we meet at the mall for lunch? And I say, in my mind, that mall there is where I did a lot of things that I shouldn't have. Hey, buddy, you know what? That place isn't good for me. Oh, man, you got to get over that thing. Hey, you'll be fine. Let's just go. What is he doing? He's taking a liberty that he has, and me and my weakness, putting me in a situation, say, well, you should be over that. We have victory in Christ. I understand that, but let us remember the reality of life. Okay, no problem. Let's go somewhere else. Maybe you like Applebee's, or what's the place that had $10 apps, you know, endless, you know, Fridays. $10 all-you-can-eat apps, appetizers. Yeah, but before I got saved, I would meet my friends at Fridays, every Friday night, and we would get blasted at the bar. And now I say, hey, why don't we go get endless apps? Sorry. Well, who's in the wrong here? Is it the strong Christian for, no, we just got to be considerate of those things. It's not wrong to go into Applebee's, but it is wrong if it's causing another brother or sister to fall. That's why attitude is the key. Hey, let's find another Let's find another place. Let's find another thing to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13 says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth." That was a pretty lengthy time period. "Lest I make my brother to offend." He says, I'm not just going to not eat meat around him. I'm not going to eat meat any day. That's Paul's attitude towards it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. In verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the" what? "The feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Roger has an obligation as a strong in the faith Christian to me who is weak, newly saved, to help watch over and protect me. Hey, I know you came out of these things. I'm not going to put you right next door to that. Why? Because that temptation for a weak Christian who yields to temptation so quickly, that's what Romans chapter 14 is talking about. And when we come to verse 19, what does it say? Romans 14, 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things whereof one may edify one another." To follow means to seek eagerly. The things which make for peace, these are things or situations which would not harm a weaker Christian and help someone to grow in wisdom and grace. That's why that verse is in there. Look at Romans chapter 14, and we're almost out of time. So look at Romans chapter 14. I ask myself the question when maybe posed with scenarios or situations, is it worth it? Is the potential for hurting someone else's faith worth it? Like going there or having that conversation, or is it worthwhile? I enjoy sports. I like them. I'm not good at them, but I enjoy watching them, following them, all that kind of stuff. And when we had the young adults, we would years ago, we would try out different local sports. We would go to the hockey game. We would go to the baseball game. And then we tried lacrosse. And man, we went to the lacrosse game. And in the middle of the game, all of a sudden, a bunch of cheerleaders stand up on the deck on top of the things. And they're dancing and music's blaring. And I said, I am never going to, although I like that game, I'm not going to put young men in visual of that. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. For conscience sake. In our own heart and in our own mind, here's some questions we could ask ourselves. Do you think the activity is wrong? Does it make you uncomfortable? You know, when we live the way the Lord wants us to live, we live in peace. And our conscience is clear. Say, well, I do take a group to a lacrosse game, and here we are, and all that's happening. Learn from that and say, mental note, not going to do that again, and we didn't. Hey, when I didn't realize that this situation was like this, or I didn't realize that there was a bar in this restaurant, or I didn't, you know, we learn from the experience and make the right choice the next time. But we do have to be mindful of that. That you're not the only one in Christianity. And that's what Romans chapter 14. Hey, if we're going to serve one another, as we ended Romans chapter 13, how do we do? Or we start in Romans chapter 14. How do we do? We do it with love. Being considerate and loving the other person so much that I'm willing to maybe give up a good time for their faith. Hey, let us remember that. There's certain things that are black and white in the scriptures. And thou shalt not, right? I mean, it was clear. Hey, that's the work of the flesh. Stay away from those things. Don't go anywhere near that. Don't touch that. But then there's some areas where, well, it's kind of like it falls under that holy day or that food. United States military, I do believe, when they're in foreign countries and they're trying to work with teaching the next generation of how to provide security and strength and force. They yield to the local customs. When they're over in Afghanistan trying to teach them how to be police, they're not going to go in eating bacon and doing that. Why? Because that would be offensive. Yeah, but I'm an American. I understand that. But let us remember that in our faith. Yeah, but I can. I understand there's liberty, but be careful of our attitude that we not hurt our fellow man. It's just, in the end of it, it's just not worth it. Hey, we're called to be an encouragement one to another. And if we're looking to serve one another and the Lord helps us with this. I'm telling you, you'll feel awful if you cause another brother to fall. That's an awful feeling. So let's be careful and mindful of these things. I know this is a very pointed lesson, and I know chapter 13 and 14, we touch on some, and hey, we start talking about government, and that's, ooh. Then we start talking about preferences, and that's another, oh, tread lightly. I think if we approach the scriptures with the right heart and the right attitude, it's very clear what we're trying to do here. Yeah, but and we could play the what-if game until Jesus comes and go through all that. And eventually, we're going to have to make, I understand you're going to have to maybe draw some lines in the sand for your own self and say, okay, this is where I will not compromise because of my background or because of what I know my sin is, what that's so easily beset me. And if I'm going to, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, if I'm going to try and live holy and try and help others around me be holy, all right, this is the fence I'm putting up to protect myself, my family, and those around me. I get that. And that's good, and that's right. But be mindful of those around you too. That's all I'm saying. And I think if we have the right heart and the right attitude, and a spirit of willing to help one another, that can go a long way. All right.